Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father in heaven, we thank you again. For the joy of the journey, we thank you for another day. You have blessed us with a portion of health and strength, mind, sane. And Father, we thank you. You're so gracious and good. You allowed us to come to the house of prayer, house of your praise, and house of your word. Father, we come as humble as we know how. We, Lord, in need of a word from you. Speak, Lord, we will hear and do. Lord, as your word comes from heaven, as the snow and the rain fall, water the earth, give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Now, Father, we need your word to come into our lives and accomplish your will. Our hearts are like good ground, ready for your seed, so that we can be bountiful in our living and bringing forth fruit unto you. Forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from unrighteousness, that we will be fit vessels to be used by you. Counsel out every stratagem and scheme of the enemy, and that nothing will hinder your word from going forward. And Father, when you would have finished with us today, you'll still be God, having all honor, praise, and glory. It is in the marvelous, mighty, majestic name of our Christ, Christ of God, Jesus, we do ask all these things, and every heart say amen. Amen. What a great day it is to be alive, alert, and active. God has blessed us. Not that we deserve it, but he's God. And goodness is who he is. He is a loving and merciful God, and certainly we ought to be glad about it. Should have been, could have been sleeping in our graves. But the Lord touched us this morning and allowed us to see a new day. Amen. Amen. What a wonderful day it is. I don't care what the weather is like outside. It's good to be in here. And it's good to be in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Certainly to these preachers who accompanied me in the pulpit, Reverend McCoy and Dr. Walker, and then I see Reverend Lee Walker in the congregation. Are there any more preachers? All right. You preacher? Who is that, Brother Whitmire? I can't see with the shield up here, man. Amen. Good to see you, Reverend Red Wine. Amen. Amen. This thing kind of distorted my vision. Good to see all of you. Certainly we thank God for these deacons and trustees who have devoted us, and this melodious singing choir. Come on, bless God. Come on, y'all, get me right. Amen. Come on, we can do better than that. Amen. Amen. Y'all get me right. Amen. Y'all get me right. 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 3. Listen, I ask for your patience today. Right at the close of our preaching, right after we preach, we have two that we will baptize today. Amen. They have accepted Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, and they're being prepared and made ready for the baptism. So right after I finish preaching, give invitation to Christian discipleship, the curtains will be open, and Reverend McCoy will baptize them. And I want you all here to witness, because baptism is an ordinance of the church. Amen. So ask that you be a little patient with us today, and we will witness their burial and resurrection with Christ, and certainly we'll celebrate with them as as the Lord has commanded us to. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5. Now that sounds pretty good. If y'all just hold there. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. A time to refocus. That's what I want to talk about. A time to refocus. Thank God for the committee, Environmental Safety Committee. I thank God for them and their hard work. A time to refocus. We must admit that life has a way of getting us off. We lose our focus and awareness of who God has called us to be and what God has called us to do. Life is like a roller coaster. There are some unexpected turns. And when we are forced to deal with those unexpected turns, sometimes, not all the time, we get off. But God has a way of burdening the heart of a preacher so that he can write or preach what's needed to get us back on course. God don't want you to stay off course. Because you are most pleasing to him when you are where he called you and doing what he commands you. He don't want you off. So Paul, he writes this letter to the church at Thessalonica just a few months after he had written unto them the first epistle, because there was a continual question and problems regarding the end times, false teachers. We got some bamboozled the new believers by telling them that the day of the Lord had already come. This troubled them, because Paul in 1 Thessalonians encouraged them by telling them that they would be raptured from the earth before the wrath of God would fall upon the earth. And because they had given themselves and their ears to false teaching, they had become discouraged, bothered, and bamboozled, because false teaching will get you off. It'll give you directions that'll get you off. They were bothered because they felt they had missed the coming of the Lord. And they felt that if they had missed the coming of the Lord, there was no need to keep working. Paul, he dealt with being wearied in well doing. And it can happen to the best of us. When you are tired of doing good. Some of you can be a witness that that's a hard thing. Because we live in a world where doing right seems wrong. I'm preaching, but y'all saying amen. And doing wrong seems right. And when you have set your heart to do God's will, that's right. And we live in a world that's against God. It can happen where we get tired of doing what's right. Let me tell you, it's called weariness. He says, don't be weary in well-doing. When you're weary, your enthusiasm for doing good is almost depleted. Ought to have a witness. When you're weary, your inner power for doing good is almost spent. It's as if you have nothing left. Anybody been there? Like you have nothing left. You're weary. You fail in heart. You are faint in heart. And hear me, brothers and sisters, weariness can lead to idleness. Because when you're weary, you can easily develop an attitude of what sense in it? Why should I continue to do that which is right? When you're low in your spirit, and when your heart is burdened, it's easy to let go. But I thank God that when we let go, we got somebody that holds on to us. And if we'll be truthful, we're not here today because we held on. But we serve a God who keeps a hold of us. We have all been wearied, faint in heart. Paul says, I know you're there, but I'm praying that God will direct your hearts. That God will straighten it out for you. That he'll get you back on course. Because I know you're low. I know you have grown weary in well-doing. I know you have grown slack in your Christian work. I know that you have grown weary in well-doing. And your love for God is not as intense and fervent as it used to be. He says, but hang on in there, because I know God will get you back on course. Paul gives us two things that serves to help us and refocus us in this crucial and critical time in which we live. Paul prayed for them to refocus their love for God. Verse 5, a clause, the Lord directs your heart into the love of God. Look at the word if direct, if you will. The word direct means to clear away obstacles or to guide. Paul was asking the Lord to make straight and to remove obstacles out of the way so that we refocus our love for God. I don't know about you, but I can be a witness today that God has removed some stuff out of my life and he's moving some obstacles out of my life right now. You don't need everything that you got in life. You don't need everybody that's hanging on to you in life. Some people will serve to keep you hindered and hampered in your spiritual growth. Paul says God will get some obstacles. We hold on and hang on to things that keep us from focusing, fine-tuning our love for God. God is getting some stuff out of my life. Listen, being purged is a painful process, but it's needed. It hurts when certain folks walk out your life. But listen, you got to learn how to trust God in the midst of it all. It hurts when you lose certain things in life, but you got to learn how to trust God in life. God will purge away, get all of those distractions out of your way so you can see. We get mad with God, go to talking down on God when he begins to run folk away. When we begin to lose stuff, lose a little money, lose a job, lose a loved one, lose a car. And we lose focus. And sometimes what God will do is test you with the very things you're trying to cling on and hold on to. Come here, Abraham. Come here, Abraham. You got a son you love. And I need to really know if you love him or me more. Take him to a mountain that I show you. And when you get to the top of the mountain, I want you to offer him up as a sacrifice. He climbed the mountain with his boy. And some preachers say, as he was climbing up on one side, the Lord was bringing up the ram on the other side. Because when you show God that you love him more, he won't let you do what he wants you to do, because he knows that it'll hurt you too deeply. When Abraham raised that dagger to kill his son Isaac, he halted him right there in his act and said, don't kill the boy. There's a ram. Yeah. See, when you give God all of your heart, he'll give you a ram. He'll make a way out of no way. Ought to have some witnesses here. Somebody here have been to the last of the rope. Somebody here have been to the last of your finances. You thought you were going under, but because you gave your heart fully to God, when you got there, God already had a way worked out for you. He can make a way out of no way. When he got ready to kill the boy, there was a ram caught in the thicket. He He'll test you with the very thing you're trying to cling to. Hold on and hang on to. He wants you to refocus your love. Do I have a witness? God loves us. He loves us more than we will ever know. I mean, he loves us. And his love was displayed when he sent his son to hang on that old rugged cross. That's why Paul could say he commended. He put it on display so all the world could see just how much he loves us. Oh, God told Israel to love him. You remember when Moses had brought them out of Egypt and had them on the west side of the Jordan, and he was prepping and preparing them to go into the promised land. And he said that God wants you to love him with all of your faculties. You shall love the Lord thy God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Let me help you. See, the reason they were out in the wilderness is because of God's love for them. God saw their tears and heard their cry. And he had sent Moses and Aaron into Egypt to bring them out of Egypt. And they were in the wilderness because God had put his love on display. Come here. The only reason you and I are sitting and I'm standing in this place today is because God has put his love on display. We were on our way to a burning hell, and God stopped us like he stopped Saul while he was on his way to Damascus. We saw a light and heard a voice, and he picked us up and turned us around and planted our feet on solid ground. And the only reason we are up in here today is because God so loves us. No, you're not here because you've done everything right and you've been careful and you wear masks and you're not here because you've been the best you can be. No, because even at our best, it is nothing but filthy rags under God. God loves us. I think you ought to look at somebody and tell them that today. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. Somebody needs to know that today. They are wrestling and struggling with this love thing. And they need you to tell them today, God loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He brought us out because of his love. He has blessed us because of his love. So the question is not God's love for us, but it's our love for him. Paul knew God didn't have a love problem, but it's us who have a love problem. Jesus commanded his disciples to love the Lord with their complete self. He said in Matthew 22:38, and thou shalt love the Lord with all thine heart. And when you love God with all, you don't mind serving God. You don't mind giving to God. You don't mind standing up for God and being a witness. You don't mind being faithful to God in ministry. You don't mind singing for God his praises and witnessing for God. You don't mind praising God. So first of all, every Christian ought to love God above everything else. God wants your whole heart. All of you. He doesn't want to share.
That's right. That's right.
First place in your life.
That's right.
He wants you to love him with your whole heart.
Yeah.
Let me help you. The reason we have love issues with people is because we have love issues with God. See, you can't love on the horizontal if you don't have the vertical right. And don't fool yourself. Listen, don't let anybody fool you. Don't you fool yourself like that person love you and they don't have a love connection with God. I'm trying to help you. I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen. I know they your bae and boo. I know you love them. And you're trying to do all you can to hang on to them. But if they don't have a love relationship with God, they can't love you. Because the Bible says that God is love. Love is not an innate, inborn characteristic of man. Now, when we're born again, we love like God because we receive the heart of God. He wants us to love him more than everything and everybody else. Here's the problem. Problems, pursuits, and possessions can distort our love for God. If you are not careful, problems, pursuits, and possessions will steal your affection for God. You're so busy looking at everything and everybody else that you don't have time to look and love God. Steal your affection for some problems of life have you thinking that God don't love you and care for you. You're questioning God. You're questioning the love of God because of what you're going through. But I hear Peter. Peter says you can cast your cares. All of them. Every last bit of them. Every one of them. On God. Because he cares for you. That's good news, isn't it? Right in the midst of this chaotic season we're in, God cares for us. Problems can distort. But then pursuits, chasing after stuff, chasing after things and chasing after wealth can distort your love affection for God. Your heart is totally invested in pursuits, and you are engulfed in your pursuits that you don't have time to love God. And you think that God is all right with you putting him on the back burner, putting him behind the stage curtains, taking him off the scene of your life, and loving him less than you love things. You think God all right with that. But God said, if you don't love me more than you love your pappy, big mama, Aunt Louise, Uncle Buck, cousin Shanae and big cousin Ruru, You're not fit to be his disciples. There's a love problem. He wants us to refocus. To refocus our love, because the cares of life are powerful tools Satan uses to distort our love for God. But Paul says we are to keep our love for God and keep on loving God. Keep on loving God and keep on loving God. Irregardless of what you're going through, just keep on loving God. I know they are lying on you, but keep on loving God. I know you don't have enough money to pay your monthly bills, but keep on loving God. I know you just got laid off and furloughed on your job, but keep on loving God. I know he just walked out of your life and she just walked out of your life and your child just got arrested, but just keep on loving God. Keep your love right. Paul says refocus your love. I got to quit. He gives a second point, and I'll hit it just a bit and get me to the runway. He says not only refocus your love, but you need to refocus your patience. You know, be careful when you pray for patience. Lord, I want to preach it, but be careful now, because when I read the record, it tells us that patience is developed through problems. James says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing that the trying of your faith develops patience. Don't pray for patience if you can't stand problems. Because that's how God works it into your life. He allows some stuff to be unleashed in your life to bother you and to aggravate you, agonize you. And he develops patience. Y'all, let me deal with these three patience mentioned in the word of God, and then I'll bid you farewell. The first patience you need is laboring patience. Let the church say laboring patience. Paul says in Romans chapter 2 verse 7, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. The word patient continuance means to be steadfast and constant. It means to endure, stick to, and continue in doing well. It means to keep working. Keep showing up. Keep working. Keep doing what God has assigned you to do. Don't let nothing stop you from doing what God has gifted you to do. Keep working. You don't just start, but you finish. That's why Paul said he pressed, and he gives the picture of an athlete running toward the finish line. And the closer you get to the line, the faster you get. You don't slow down. I understand age will slow you down, but the closer you get, the harder you run, and the more speed you get up behind yourself so you can finish well. He says laboring patience, but then he says suffering patience. You need the ability to trust God in the midst of suffering. Job was minding his business. God was having a meeting with the sons of God. Satan showed up. God says, where you been? I've been up and down, to and from, and I've been looking for a prime candidate who I can enroll in my suffering game. God says, well, I got one I can nominate. His name is Job. Have you considered him? I've been by his house a few times. But the reason I don't bother him, because I know you got a hedge around him. Satan says, if you move the hedge, I'll show you that Job ain't who you think he is. But what happens when God decides to call your name? You doing your business and you doing everything you know to do for God, but God still bring your name up and allow Satan to touch you and inflict some suffering into your life. Job was doing well, but all of a sudden his body was afflicted with sores. Some say his body was so infected that they were all on his arms, all between his legs and all between his toes, all in his hair. And his hair began to come out. His beard began to come out because he had sore boils all over his body. Miss Job chimed in and said, man, won't you cuss God and get this thing over with? Why don't you turn it loose and let go of your faith? You know, that's what Satan will do here. He will send some folk. I'm preaching, but y'all saying amen. To say to you that you are not going to get any better. Why don't you just turn this faith thing loose? But listen, you got to learn how to wait on God right in the midst of your suffering. He may not come when you want it, but he's always on time. Somebody here ought to be a witness and point at somebody and tell them, don't you give up, because he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. You need suffering patience. But you need waiting patience. You need to learn how to surrender to God's timetable. Waiting for God is not laziness. It is not going to sleep. It is not abandoning your effort. Waiting on God means activity under command. That I'm going to do what the Lord says, regardless of how hard it is, because the Lord won't say it and not bring it to pass. We got to wait on the Lord's ability to work it out for our good. That's what David said in Psalms 37. He said, rest in the Lord and wait patiently. And that's all I'm doing, is I'm keeping my hand in the Lord's hand. Do I have anybody here who can be a witness and say, I'm keeping my hand in the Lord's hand? And one of these old days, he's going to turn this thing around. Ain't the Lord all right? We need a chief example that we can look at while we are going through. We face many trials and persecutions.
But Christ is our chief example of facing trial and persecution with patient endurance. For the writer of Hebrews said, let us run the race that is set before us, looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Jesus didn't start and stop. Jesus kept on pushing forward. And that's all I came to tell you this morning, is that you got to keep on pressing and keep on pushing forward. Don't you give up on God, because God hadn't given up on you. Let me say that again. Don't you give up on God, because God haven't given up on you. Jesus went all the way. He went all the way to set us free. He went all the way up the Via Dolorosa. He went all the way on the cross of Calvary. He went all the way when he locked his head in the locks of his shoulders, and he died on that old rugged cross. Is there anybody in the room know Jesus died? If you know he died, you ought to stand on your feet and say to somebody, he died. Yes, he did. He died. He died the 9th hour. But I thank God, that's not the end of the story. He borrowed a tomb, and what you borrow, you're gonna give it back. He only needed it for Friday night and Saturday day and Saturday night, but early Sunday morning, early Sunday morning, y'all know what he did. He got out of that grave with all power, heaven and earth in his hands. Listen, I got to quit, but I thank God for power. Power to keep me. Power to hold me. Power to walk with me. Power to empower me. Power to make me love my enemies and make me love my friends. And most of all, power to make me love him. Let me ask you one question before I go to my seat. Ain't the Lord all right? Let me hear you say, yeah, yeah.
The doors of the Lord's house stands ajar. Come on, we have baptism. The doors of the Lord's house stands ajar. Come today if you need of salvation. Come today if you need to be restored. Come today if you need of a church home. The Lord has laid this church, New Bethlehem Baptist Church, on your heart. Come. He will save you. He will restore you. Amen. He'll give you family. Come. Listen, as the invitation is given, we're letting up the screen and we're opening the curtains. During the pandemic, there are two that has come by baptism. I've had a chance to share with them the plan of salvation, and both boldly say, I believe Jesus in my heart to be my personal Lord and Savior. I believe he died for me and to set me free. And I want to be identified with him in his death his burial, and his resurrection. So here we are as we celebrate with the family the baptism of our two brothers. Come on, y'all, bless the Lord as they come.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you for your patience. May the grace of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with us now, henceforth, and forever. Go in peace. Brother Jesse is coming to give us instruction. Brother Lee, will you just hold?
Brother, we trying to dismiss orderly. Okay, you're going to take the offering up. Okay, we want to dismiss orderly.